Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And, of course, while we are, you know, Tuesday, the show was entirely about DeMar Hamlin. And we continue coverage, of course. We eventually get back to other sports and discussing that and losing ourselves in sports and having a good time. But of course, DeMar Hamlin's always on our minds, and we're going to give you updates as they come in. And so far, the news, it hasn't been like, oh, he's out of the woods. It's not like that. But little by little, you oxygen levels getting better, doctors happy with the direction it's going in, you know, that kind of stuff. Is great to hear little by little, drip by drip, good news coming out. Adam Schefter tweeted that DeMar Hamlin's father, Mario Hamlin, addressed the entire Bills team on a Zoom call Wednesday to personally update everyone in attendance on his son, per source. Mario Hamlin informed the Bills that DeMar was making progress and, in the words of one source, quote, the team needed it, end quote. So, that's, again, like, is that about DeMar's health at the moment? No, but it's just more, it's a nice thing to hear. And Adam Schefter is now with us. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Max. How you doing?
Doing well. Hope the same goes for you. I know you're covering a situation that is very upsetting, but little by little, as I've mentioned, the news that's trickling out has been positive, and that's a great thing. But what should we expect regarding the Bengals and Bills making up their game?
Well, I think the league knows that it's got to get something in place here before the weekend kicks off Saturday. So we're now on Thursday, 8 a.m., and I would think that in the next 24 to 48 hours, the league has to put some sort of plan in place so that the people involved in this weekend's games understand the football ramifications once we get past DeMar Hamlin. You can't go into this weekend and not have clarity about how the NFL is handling the game. And I personally, nobody said this to me yet, just me reading between the lines, I'll personally be surprised if they make up this game. As somebody said to me this week a couple of days ago, the game just has bad mojo to it, trying to move on. And so now, if that turns out to be the case, question becomes, what does the league do and how does it handle it? And I think there's a few different options out there. I think the league obviously will consider what's in the best interest of the league. I don't think it's as simple as, okay, well, they just don't play the game and here's the way it finishes and Buffalo and Cincinnati play one fewer game than everybody else and we go on from there. I think that there's some clever formulas that'll be considered, right? Like, I'll give Matthew Hasselbeck the credit on this one. I thought it was highly intelligent, very progressive, and it wouldn't shock me if the league came up with something along the lines of this. But basically what you're talking about would be that you call the Bengals and Bills a tie. In the end, you do the seeding in a win percentage, if you follow what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And then you take the win percentage, and the number one seed gets the choice of either home field advantage throughout the playoffs or the bye. The number two seed gets whatever isn't chosen. So the one and the two each get something. It may not be entirely fair, but it may be the most equitable solution. Now, I don't know that it's going to be that, but I think the league comes up with something that tries to be as fair as possible to all the parties who had something at stake in an unprecedented circumstance that the league has never had to sift through before. So, to me, the league will make a plan and put a plan in place here this week at some point. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's something along those lines, something, whatever it may be, whatever they think is best. But I don't think it's going to be, oh, let's go make up this game after this week. I don't think it's going to be, we're going to base it off of, you know, this week, nothing changes this week, and that game's just a wash or no contest, and we go from here. I think they're going to come up with something, whatever it may be next.
Adam, how much do you think the league is communicating this with both the Bills and the Bengals about what their desires would be?
Well, all I can go by is what Troy Vincent said on the conference call yesterday, that it has not come up one bit with the Bills and Bengals. The only thing that's come up with those teams is how the teams are handling this situation, how they're reacting to it, the mental health that's involved. You know, I think people forget that. You know, we're back to talking about how the scenarios are going to unfold, and I understand that because the games are closer this weekend. But from the NFL standpoint yesterday, you know, Troy Vincent was saying he's only been talking to Sean McDermott and the Bills about how they're doing, how they're reacting. And think about this team that went through this incredibly tragic, traumatic experience on Monday night and is back in the building yesterday, back to work. Like, that cannot be normal. That cannot feel natural. And so I honestly don't think, Key, that they're thinking or worried about whether they're making that game up, the Bills or the Bengals right now. And I think that they're worried about dealing with their organizations, how they're reacting to the events that they witnessed on Monday night. And I think that in the back of their minds, they're just saying, you know, what, the league will tell us what to do here, and they'll wait for the league's announcement.
Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, the Adam Schefter Podcast, of course. Thank you so much, as always.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Adam. Thanks, Schefter.
So as I was, as I mentioned before Adam joined us, Adam tweeted earlier today that DeMar Hamlin's father, Mario Hamlin, addressed the entire Bills team on a Zoom call Wednesday to personally update everyone in attendance on his son, per source. Mario Hamlin informed the Bills that DeMar was making progress, and in the words of one source, quote, the team needed it. So, as I said, the news out of the Cincinnati hospital, where DeMar Hamlin is, has been good. It's nothing like, oh, he's out of the woods. That's not the case. He's in critical condition. But insofar as there is a development one way or another, there seem to be minor improvements. But, you know, when you get three or four different reports of separate minor improvements together, they mark a trend in a direction. And as long as that arrow keeps pointing in the right direction, you know, let's keep getting that good news.
You've heard it from Jordan Rooney, who is the family representative that spoke to us yesterday. You heard it from the father now and Adam Schefter. I am personally, I know we are as a company, we are as a show, very happy that things are moving in the right direction. I still don't think that is just because it's moving in the right direction, that just kind of removes all the feelings that the Buffalo Bills, per se, have with seeing the situation. And Adam, you know, kindly reminds us 2 days ago.
Yeah, Jay, that's why your thought about, hey, like, because there are lots of different scenarios and solutions that none of them will be perfect, but to address the issue. But the perfect, as my father likes to say, is the enemy of the good, right? Like, just come up with it. Let's come up with a good solution here. Your idea, Jay, Adam just went over one that might be considered, which I think they call it a tie, and then you do winning percentage. But your one, hey, how about let's move everything back a week for everyone? Makes more sense to me. Not that the other solution doesn't have good qualities, but I like that because the big issue is creating some distance between the event and when you next get on the field.
Don't you think that makes sense, Key? Like moving things back a week? I mean, you already had that gap week between the Super Bowl. Just run everything all the way through. I mean, every team that's in the playoffs would appreciate that, having a, you know, off week.
I think a lot of what's being tossed around makes a lot of sense from a lot of different reasons, depending on how you feel about it. Interesting there. Adam talked about speaking to somebody that said it's just a bad about that game. Bills, Cincinnati, just a bad aura around.
Yeah, skip that one. Just skip that game. Yeah.
So it's kind of if you just skip that game, now you're going into the percentage situation okay. where you call it a tie.
Let's do both.
You know, so it's kind of.
So, Key, let's skip that game, call that a tie, do the winning percentage, as Adam suggested.
Yeah, that's what I said. Every it's a lot of different scenarios that's out there that make all the sense in the world. It just depends on what the league feels is the best interest for the league.
So, okay? You know what I but like about the week,
Bills
too, guys?
Them what's in the best interest for the Bills, though, correct?
Well, they already said they're not talking to the Bills and the Cincinnati about it. The only thing they're discussing is their health and their mental health and their welfare and well-being of the team. They're not caught up in the schedule.
I'm trying to remember what event took place. I don't remember if it was an earthquake. The Giants Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills in 91 in Pasadena, right? There was only 1 week between the championship games and the Super Bowl that year, Key, if memory serves. There were not 2 weeks.
Well, our Super Bowl was only 1 week, too.
That happens from time to time.
Yeah, our Super Bowl, we went right from Philly to Tampa.
But I want to say, Key, sometimes that's scheduled ahead of time, and sometimes I want to say something happened, if memory serves, that year that pushed it. That created.
That was in Tampa that year.
Was it in Tampa? Giant, okay, Giant Pasadena Bills. Was 86 or 87. But the point is, there was something. So it's not unprecedented that there's a week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. You could push everything back a week, not have to move the Super Bowl. You know, there is room there because the championship games this year are 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
But what are you pushing it back for, though, Max?
Just to create some distance. If everything gets pushed a week, as Jay says, in the end, the final game of the actual season, the Super Bowl, doesn't have to move. You have that week that you can play with.
What are you using that week for? The Pro Bowl week, what are you using it for?
That's the championship game week now.
Yeah. So it's the championship game week, but what are you trying to make up?
What we're trying to do is create a week off for the entire NFL in the regular season.
Got it.
Right? So that you just create a little. Listen, we've all experienced tragedy in our own lives, right? Like if you've lived long enough, that's what's happened.
So instead of starting wild card weekend next week,
start
it 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, guys, we're going to have an update on, I'm told, on DeMar Hamlin this morning. In the meantime, should Jalen Hurts suit up for the Eagles against the Giants? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
The Philadelphia Eagles are a must-buy, first-round-buy team. They need home field advantage because everybody else has shown me they can go on the road and win. So it's very important for Philadelphia to go in with strong momentum.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach, on his star quarterback, who is presently hurt, Jalen Hurts, missed the last couple games. They're still going to keep it day by day. Here he is, Nick Sirianni, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It just goes back to Jalen being healthy enough to play, right? Every game's big. I mean, shoot, the last two games were big too, but Jalen wasn't quite there yet to be ready to play. If Jalen's ready to play health-wise, then we'll play him. That will always, always be my first requirement, is if the player is healthy enough to play and we don't put him at risk to put his body in danger just because we perceive it as a must-win.
So we are joined now by Tim McManus, ESPN Eagles reporter. You can follow him at Tim_McManus. Tim, what's the latest with Jalen Hurts?
So Jalen Hurts participated in yesterday's walkthrough. That's the first time since he's been injured that he had taken part in a Wednesday walkthrough. So another encouraging sign that Jalen Hurts is getting closer to playing. You know, I think that he's going to end up playing in this game against the New York Giants. You know, my understanding has been that they don't feel like this is a significant injury. The reason that they held him out for the last 2 weeks is to make sure that they didn't do anything that would hinder the health and the healing of that right throwing shoulder. But it seems like he's getting into a good place, and this is obviously a really big game. Today is a big day in terms of determining whether he's going to be ready or not as they get into, you know, like a real practice and Hurts, see if he participates fully, if he can take a little bit of contact, that type of thing. So today's a big day, but I think he's trending in the right direction.
Tim, you're on the ground in Philadelphia and you have the pulse of the organization and what the minds inside that organization are thinking. Are they starting to feel like they could potentially squander this number one seat?
I'll tell you, going through the locker room yesterday was interesting. And as you went from one player to the next, it started kind of painting a mosaic of how they're thinking inside. And James Bradbury had some of the most poignant comments when he said that we've been looking too far ahead recently, talking about the last couple games. Speaking with Fletcher Cox shortly after that, he said that they didn't bring the same type of energy that the Saints did last week. I talked to a defensive player right after that Saints game, and he didn't want to get into, he declined multiple times to get into a conversation about whether they had the same type of intensity as they had earlier in the year or they had that they needed going into the Saints game. And so what that tells me, picking up those little pieces, is this is a team that has lost focus a little bit. At least relevant to the way how locked in they had been for the first, you know, three quarters of this season. I think some of that's human nature, that you get to a spot, you have three games, you only need one win in order to get that number one seed. And I just don't think they were quite as locked in as they needed to be. Plus, you know, they're operating with their backup quarterback in those games. And you combine those two things, and I think that helps explain the results that we've seen of late. But there's no question that they've been woken up.
Tim,
like, they know how big this game is. They know what's on the line, and I expect a much better performance this week.
Tim, how bad do they need the number one seed, though, to make a deep run to Arizona? Because I don't feel like the Cowboys and I don't feel like the Niners need the number one seed.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, they certainly know that that's the best path is to get that week off. They have some guys who need to get healed up. Then they're going to be introducing, it looks like, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the safety, back into the lineup. Lane Johnson is dealing with an abdominal tear. They've been without Avante Maddox because of a toe injury. And so there's just guys that could really use that rest. And let's be honest, they're just not peaking right now. And they're dealing with a quarterback who's going to be coming back from a sprained shoulder. Not 100% sure exactly what that's going to look like. And so I feel like they absolutely need to win this game against New York and secure that number one seed. I don't think that you want to go into the playoffs with a three-game losing streak. I don't think you want to have to go on the road after sort of having it programmed in your mind that you're going to be home and that the NFC playoffs were going through you. Now, this is a talented group, so it's not like it's impossible that they could go on a run on the road. I think that they're capable of beating any team in the NFL. but certainly the best path is the one that goes through Philly.
Tim McManus, ESPN Eagles reporter, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, guys.
So the Giants and Eagles will be a hot ticket. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you can earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. And Jay?
That was exactly my point, what he just said, about the fact that they haven't been hitting, you know, from every angle. They haven't really found their stride. And that's why Jalen Hurts can't afford not to play in this game. And I don't care what anybody says. And look, maybe it's just my experience, but literally, like, we used to talk about this in college all the time. The way we play our last couple of regular season games, I'm not saying it always needs to equate to wins you would like for it to, but just finding that rhythm where you know what it is, right? There's a sense of familiarity. And I think having a game under his belt in which they're finding a sense of rhythm to a degree, you much rather have that heading into the playoffs than him not playing. That's why I always knew he was going to play.
You know, this whole thing about how the different players, Fletcher Cox and Bradbury, everyone's like, well, we didn't bring the same energy. And da-da-da. Come on, guys. Here's the headline.
He's the reason why.
Let's not bury the lead. Minshew hasn't been any good, and Hurts was great. So they were winning with Hurts, and they were losing with Minshew. I mean, like, how much more complicated is it than that?
But also, Key, the way, like, Hurts utilizes his legs way differently than Minshew. You know what I mean? Like, he's such a different dynamic player.
There's a reason one's a starter and one's a backup.
Right. And then I'm reminded, you know, it always comes back to my teams, of that 07 season where the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl. It was, and you talk to anyone about this, the last game of the season when the Giants had clinched the wild card, and everyone's like, is Coughlin going to play his starters or not? No, don't risk injury. No, no. He's like, no, we're going to play the same way.
There you go.
And they lost that game, but it was a tough, close game. They rode that right into the playoffs, won on the road the whole way, and won the Super Bowl, right, against that same team. So, because they played the Patriots last week. So that stuff is important, man. And Giants are a playoff caliber team. Forget about everything that's on the line with the number one seed, Key, which you believe is very important for the Eagles, but everything Jay said I think is true.
I never said it wasn't.
No.
It's
okay, well, I guess vacation's over. All right. Now I know vacation's over.
That moment right there.
Right there. Right there. I'm still kind of moving.
Everything Jay said is true. I never said it wasn't.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, which team has the worst receiving core in the NFL? Because one of the reasons I had Daniel Jones in my third tier,
out
of a bunch of guys.
System.
One in the first tier, Patrick Mahomes. Two in the second. It's what I do on this, Justin, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN.
Handsome.
It's pyramid style. Two in the second tier I had, with a heavy recency bias this year, Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. And then third tier, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Daniel Jones. Was the Giants receiving corps terrible? But is it the worst in the NFL? After Key has this word from Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. So call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
All right, so there is a fantastic show on ESPN. How would you describe the looks of the host? I've heard very handsome, Jay.
Aaron Rodgers-like.
I think much more handsome than Aaron Rodgers.
Host Nicholas of what?
Of this Just In.
Did you used to get Nicolas Cage?
What's that? I used to when I was a kid, yeah.
He has a big the guy on this just in has a really huge forehead. And a scruffy beard, kind of like a fake Hollywood actor look.
I know, but it all works somehow. Anyway, the point is that on this just in, this fellow Max Kellerman has something called quarterback tears. Quarterback tears, eh? So anyway, it's well, you know, you gave me a look when I used the word fella, didn't you, Jay?
Fella, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it goes like this. It's pyramid style. One guy on top, two in tier two, three in tier three. Okay, so six altogether. And Patrick Mahomes I had in tier one, Burrow and Hurts in tier two, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Daniel Jones in tier three. The way I do this, these tiers, all season I've been doing it since week one, is how they've played this year, but with a heavy recency bias. I've been doing it the same way the whole time. So Geno Smith has popped up in tier three. I think Trevor Lawrence may have popped up in tier three. Jared Goff has certainly been in tier three. Like, the guys who are having good seasons, a little bit under the radar, those guys sometimes hit. And then it's the usual suspects, like Mahomes and Josh Allen and these guys. This is Daniel Jones's turn. Daniel Jones, key, I said going into the right before holiday, they had a big game, and my whole point was if he wants to be spectacular, he has to not be spectacular. It's your whole formula, key. Don't try to do too much. There was a good chance the Giants would be trailing at some point in the game. Don't turn the ball over. But not just make good plays with your legs and be steady and sound. You're going to have some plays on third down. You're going to have to come through with dimes. He did that, Key. He did all those things. His team is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's played exceptionally well, I think.
But he's been doing that all year long.
He has, but he just had his best game.
He hasn't had a game where you was like, oh, God, get this dude out of here. It hasn't been one of those deals. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been playing solid football all year long. The problem that you have with situations like this, and you and I and Jay and others, we get into conversations because y'all see certain things and never let it go. Like the whole last 3 years, right, of Daniel Jones has been a disaster.
Right.
If Daniel Jones over those first 3 years have been playing the way he's playing right now, those first 3 years, we will be talking about what a superstar in the National Football League. But because those 3 years were wasted of his play, it's so far for him to catch up to get to that superstar status, it's always going to be question marks about him at the quarterback position. That is how people's minds are. They think that way. Where Joe Burrow came in, lit it up on fire. Yeah. He was the chosen one. And then you had Trevor Lawrence, the chosen one. It took Josh Allen a couple years to really just catch fire. Now you can't stop talking about
it. And unlike Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, every year over year, improvement. He's better than last year. Then when he finally breaks over the top, it's like, yeah, we saw this coming.
Even if Daniel Jones throws for 4,800 yards next year, it's still going to be like, well, you know, he doesn't have this, or he doesn't have
so
that.
So one of the reasons, Key, that I had him there, and like Jared Goff, you have a hell of an argument. If I lived in Detroit, I'd probably have Goff in there, right? Trevor Lawrence, you have a hell of an argument. But I think Daniel Jones has the worst receiving core, certainly among the wideouts. But even when you add in the tight end, Bellinger's nice, but he has the worst receiving core, worst pass-catching core in the NFL. So, like, when it's like, yeah, he only has 5 interceptions, that's the second lowest in the league, but he only has 15 touchdowns, I'm telling you right now, go get him a number one, and maybe that 15 is 22 touchdowns, something like that, right? 23 touchdowns.
Yeah, but I don't need him throwing the ball all over the lot.
Yeah, but that's not throwing it all over the lot to have 22. You know, it's just the point is he wouldn't be in the teens.
Can I say
right
something?
Now.
Daniel Jones at his best, where would you rank him as it relates to, I know he's in your tier.
Yeah.
But where would you rank him as it relates to quarterbacks?
Like overall,
how he's looked, just in small sample size of last game, like where would you have him in the overall scheme of quarterbacks in the NFL?
He might be 10, 11, or 12, something like that.
Okay, because in the last couple of games, the way I've seen Trevor Lawrence, he looks like a top three quarterback.
Who are the best quarterbacks in football right now?
I know, I'm just saying, Trevor Lawrence, the last three games, he's looked like a top three quarterback.
But you wouldn't put him over Mahomes or Burrow or Herbert.
No, I'm saying he looks like Allen. I'm not saying I would put him over those guys.
Yeah, but he's going to be there with those guys, maybe.
He looks like his level of play and what his ceiling could be is in that top tier conversation where I don't see Daniel Jones that way.
That's right.
I think everything that Trevor Lawrence has gone through last year with the craziness and silliness of John Gruden, the way he's bounced back this year to have them in contention of making a play, like that says something about what Trevor Lawrence is.
I see your point. There are some dudes who the eyeball test says that guy is in a separate category. Yes. That is not Daniel Jones. He's not like I call him a poor man's Lamar Jackson, and you guys, I don't know, but like Lamar is in that category. Trevor Lawrence is in that category. There are guys who, whether they're there or not, if they've reached that level, it might be in there. That's not Daniel Jones. I'm not claiming it is, but he's a nice quarterback.
That's just what I just talked about.
You think so, though, when you look at the eyeball test, though?
It's not. It's what I talked about where you have a perception and you perceive a guy a certain way because of his history.
Right.
He was so bad the last 4 years or so that it's kind of like,
coaching staff, man.
Where Trevor Lawrence was only bad because of Urban Meyer, and then all of a sudden he gets Doug Peterson in his second year. Now, what if he had Urban Meyer for 2 years and had some other guy for 2 years and then all of a sudden got – Doug Peterson, that conversation would be different. It would be a different conversation for Trevor Lawrence, much like it is for Daniel Jones. The fact that Daniel Jones lost so many years messing around with Joe Judge and company, it's going to be hard to catch that up.
Matt?
Yeah, right.
It's a branding. Yeah, it's basically branded a certain way.
I'm just telling you, that's the way it always goes. And I'm not saying that he deserves to be this or that, but remember at the beginning of the season, you said they should lock him up for $18 million. I was like, no, it's going to cost them $30-plus million.
I said 3 years, 75. You said 390, and I said sold. Matt in Atlantic City, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, going over Max's quarterback tiers here. As a Giants fan, I'm going to say this, but I'm going to be fair. Daniel Jones, great pick for that last spot in the third tier. He's been underrated this entire season with no receiving core. Yes, you have Saquon Barkley, one of the best backs in the league. But all these experts didn't even have the New York Football Giants making it over 500 this season, and they're in the playoffs for the first time since 2016. If Daniel Jones went to another team with great receivers, he'd be balling out even more than he's doing right now. And the only other quarterback I would change, Max, Keyshawn, and Jay Will, is Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. No disrespect to Jalen Hurts, but the injuries, the whole Eagles team as a front.
Yeah, I considered it, Matt. I went back and forth on that, and I landed on Hurts because I expect him to continue playing. And at this point, the rankings are also kind of adding all this up, looking forward, you know. But you could easily argue Josh Allen in the second tier. Yeah. You could also easily argue Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff in Daniel Jones's place. But I think Daniel Jones is a perfectly good candidate for that spot.
I feel like my man was talking to me when he said these so-called experts didn't even have the Giants winning X amount of games. felt like he was talking to me.
Do you remember when Brandon Jacobs came on and told us the Giants were going to win 10 games?
He said it.
Was like after they already won six.
It wasn't the beginning of the year. Four games into the season.
It was early on.
All right. Well, listen, this is a verifiable thing. We should look into it. Which NFC quarterback heading into the playoffs do you trust the least?
Nine games. They're going to win 10.
There's not nine. He predicts they were. Wow. No. He did better than that. Let's find out how many wins they had when he said that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Yeah. Which NFC quarterback heading into the playoffs do you trust the least? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Yeah. There's my guy, Daniel Jones. There's
Key, why you got a little Trojan?
Kirk Cousins, that's your guy, right, Key? Kirk Cousins?
There's
who else?
You almost made me curse.
There's Dak Prescott.
With no Kirk Cousins.
Dak Prescott deserves to be in there. Sorry, year seven, one playoff win.
Oh, stop.
Yep. What? Why doesn't he start? If he starts, I'll stop. As soon as he starts winning in the playoffs, I'll stop.
You'll take Dak Prescott over.
Over who?
Daniel Jones.
I'll take Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott in the playoffs.
Now you're doing the giant thing, man.
I'm talking about the way I have seen them play, especially recently. Dak is throwing interceptions
if it wasn't for a guy named Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott would have won his first playoff appearance.
One playoff win, right? I think he has one.
No, but I'm saying he would have won that one against Green Bay.
That's true. He played very well in that game.
Let's call it what it is.
Okay, fine. Let's call it what it is. It's year seven, one playoff.
I hear you.
He's always on a good team. Every year he's on a good team, one playoff.
I hear you in the history of it, but I can't.
Okay, so you trust. Trust means
I do because I think the experiences have built him up to this point.
Okay, so you trust.
He has so much scar tissue. I think he's going to break through a lot of it this year.
Okay, all right.
I don't. But the thing is, even with some of these other quarterbacks, we act like Josh Allen was just winning playoff game after playoff game. It's not Patrick Mahomes.
But did you see, Josh you talk about,
if it's not for Aaron, that, though, you,
if you talk about that, it's man. Not for Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen played one of the greatest games of all time in the playoffs and came up against the best who ever did it and lost because that guy touched it last.
You know he still took a lollipop, right?
That's what I just said about Dak Prescott. And I'm he didn't saying. Run into Patrick Mahomes, you know.
He took a lollipop, man.
Did you see how Key just flipped that? Five
he does
seconds
it all
ago.
The time now.
5 seconds ago, it was reversed. Hey, you know, let's call it what it is. Dak should have won that game. He played well. And then when it came to Josh Allen, bottom line is he lost.
He caught in a lollipop.
Well, at least they got a chance to get maybe home field advantage, though, depending on how things shake out. I like Josh Allen. I like the Bills. I think they got a really good team. They got some stuff. Kansas City, you know, Joe Burrow, Baltimore, depending on what happens with Lamar. And then, you know, the Cowboys are an interesting team, right? Who would you not want to see in the NFC?
Well, who would you want to see? I'm saying who do you trust the least?
Oh, you want to flip it and say want to see.
Yeah, like who do you trust? Which quarterback do you trust the least? So, like, I'm not saying Daniel Jones. I trust Daniel Jones now from what I've seen.
I trust him in the playoffs just from what you've seen.
I won't mess with Kirk Cousins.
See, Kirk Cousins. I think a lot of people would say that.
And yeah, I hate feel to like pick Kirk on Cousins, him, but yeah.
I feel like Kirk Cousins turned a corner a year or two ago. Like, but I agree, Key. I don't know what it is. I probably
Kirk Cousins is the damn that close. You know, he's that guy when you play defense. You got your hand on the ball. It's like, damn, he gonna give us one again. He gonna give us one. You just gotta catch it. I'm telling you what he gonna do. That's who he is. See, he makes you believe you in the game at all times.
I'm with you on that. Another one that's fascinating for me is just because I think last year I would have trusted him. This year, just seeing how depleted the O-line is, I think the expectation would be for him to do something that I think if he were 10 years younger, he can do. Tom Brady, man.
You trust him the least?
I don't know, man.
You trust him less than Kirk Cousins?
I didn't say Kirk Cousins more, but I'm saying he's not. Is Tom Brady that far up on the list?
Yeah, I might say Dak Prescott, man. I just feel like they're going to choke.
I just want to see the Cowboys play the Bucks. I need that game in the first round. Especially considering
I got one for you. I got one for
the first game of the season for the Bucks.
I got one for Key.
Matchup for the Bucks, though.
I got one for Key. I got one for you, Key. Tua Tagovailoa. Oh, they're not in the playoffs? No, but I'm curious.
He has concussion issues, man. Come on.
That's true.
Come on. Let's just stop.
Yeah, but
Let's stop with all that.
Injury, it's without respect to injury.
I get it.
Key
was right. Come on.
I didn't even mention the fans, man. Don't say Key was
right. Always back towards you.
I didn't say nothing about Miami. We were talking about the NFC. That was Max talking about the AFC. Nothing to do with me.
I was talking
nothing.
About,
Max like a badass kid over here.
I did say NFC quarterbacks. I said NFL, and then I looked down and said NFC.
No, you said NFC.
I said NFC for sure. Yeah, I
NFC quarterbacks. Then you went to the AFC East, and you went to a team that I thought clinched about six weeks ago.
I
just wanted to hear Key talk about how they clinched 6 weeks ago. That's the whole point in bringing that
well,
up.
Well, I thought they clinched.
Who said they clinched?
I went on vacation.
Who said they clinched?
When I left, I was the bad guy being trolled by players and Jay's fan club.
Oh, God. Wow. Small violin for Keyshawn. Nichols in North Carolina. Talk to me. What do you
Nichols.
Got? Nichols.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just want to say something real quick before I answer that question. I just need to say this concerning Jay Will and Max's coverage on Tuesday concerning, DeMar Hamlin. It was absolutely amazing. It was seamless, sensitive, and empathetic. I just can't thank you guys enough for doing that amazing work. Okay. Now, Jalen Hurst. Jalen Hurst is the one that I feel like he's in trouble. I think right now the Eagles needed to strike while the iron was hot. And right now the iron is not hot for Jalen Hurst. Jalen Hurst also is more effective when he plays. He seems to get better and better and stronger. He hasn't played for a while. They are in trouble. They are not going to get out of the first round.
Listen, Nichols, guys.
Jalen Hurst is going to be the issue.
Guys, Nichols is reflecting and at some of the same points you guys were making, Jay, especially you, about the way you play going into the playoffs. If he's inactive, and he also made a good point. As Jalen Hurts played more and more, he got better and better, even throughout the season. Maybe he's right. Maybe that injury, it's not so much that he can't get back to what he is himself physically, it's that he won't be in rhythm, you know? He won't be warm. He won't be hot.
I don't know, Key. It's hard for me to believe, and I think Jalen Hurts is a special talent, but just taking a player out, it's even Lamar Jackson, taking a player out for a series of games and just dropping them back in, like that rhythm isn't slightly off. That slightness is a massive thing at the ultimate elite level, is it not? There's reason for concern. I'm not saying he can't flip it around and do his thing, because he can.
You can be concerned about it, but as long as the rest of the team is playing well individually and it all comes together, I think Jalen Hurts will be okay. I think he'll be fine. Because we're not talking about 6 months. We're talking about a handful of games, a couple games. So it's a little different. I think he'll be fine. If he's capable of playing, I think he'll be fine. He won't be as rusty as you think.
Let's get to another phone call. By the way, no one's mentioned Brock Purdy.
I was going to get there, but, you started talking about the team clinching. I was going to tell you, Brock Purdy, I trust more than I do Kirk.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think of Purdy, and I go, no, I like him.
I like him. I'm telling you, I like him.
Yeah, I agree. Mike in Pennsylvania. What's going on, Mike? Who do you got? Who do you not trust in the NFC? Which quarterback?
Who I do not trust. I hate to say this. With all due respect and everything, I don't trust Tom Brady this year. I just do not. The year he has, and I have all the respect. I love the guy. I love to see the talent that he does, the hard work, the drive he has for his teammates. I just don't trust him with the deep ball. He can get frustrated. Teams know how to get in his head now. You touch him, even if you don't sack him, you put a little arm on him, get in his ear. For me, it's Tom Brady, gentlemen, and it's like I said, that's with all due respect. I love the guy, and I want to see him succeed, but to me, I don't trust him. I just don't.
I'm not mad at it, kid. That's what I said.
Wow. I refuse to be right about Tom Brady. I said Cliff years before, and now that he looks like he went over the cliff, I'm telling you I trust the guy. I can't help it. I'm
fading you then all the time.
When it comes to Brady, just fade me. All right. More of your calls on which NFC quarterback heading into the playoffs you trust least. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.